Now, the epistle that's appointed to be read for the Feast of the Precious Blood is the same epistle that you'll find in your missals for the Passion Sunday, and it's taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9. Brethren, Christ being come a high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not with of this creation, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but of his own blood, entered once into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and of oxen and the ashes of an heifer, being sprinkled, sanctify such as are defiled, to the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the Holy Ghost offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? And therefore he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death for the redemption of those transgressions which were under the former testament, they that are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 19. At that time, Jesus, when he had taken the vinegar, said, "It is consummated," and bowing his head, he gave up the ghost. Then the Jews, because it was the perishive, that the bodies might not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that was a very great Sabbath day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. The soldiers therefore came, and they broke the legs of the first and the other that were crucified with him. But after they were come to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear opened his side, and immediately there came out blood and water. And he that saw it hath given testimony, and his testimony is true. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. But one of the soldiers with a spear opened his side, and immediately there came out blood and water. These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, in the first half of the 17th century, the Japanese emperor began a persecution of the Catholic Church that in many ways was far more cruel, more thorough, and far more barbaric than even the worst of the Roman persecutions. With almost a diabolical instinct for causing pain and suffering, the agents of the emperor tortured tens of thousands of Christians, and it is actually uncertain how many actually succumbed to martyrdom during this period. Before death saved them from their pains and sufferings, the Christians were subjected to the most brutal tortures in order to try to force them to apostatize. For the emperor knew his subjects well, and he knew that they put a very high place on honor and respect. And so he knew that if he could get his Japanese to see that the Catholic faith was just something that was easily abandoned, then they would place no stock in such a religion. So he wanted more apostates than martyrs in his kingdom. Now, in the year 1627, there was a young couple that was recently married in Arima, Japan. They were recent converts to the Catholic faith. They had been baptized Leonard and Magdalene. And their story is told by St. Alphonsus in his book, The Mystery, The Victories of the Martyrs. Magdalene was the first of the two to be put to the test. The governor arrested her, brought her to his offices, and there his henchmen tried to physically force her hand to write out an apostasy on a document. They put the pen in her hand and they tried to make her at least sign her name to a page that said she no longer believed in the Christian faith. But she resisted and refused, and for this she was caned and then brought out to sea. When out at sea, she was told to throw herself in, for she was no longer worthy to be a subject of the divine emperor. This good woman, though, refused to commit such a suicide, and so her martyrdom came to its completion when she was thrown overboard. Next came her husband, Leonard. He was held in prison for a false charge of robbery. When the officials asked him to deny his faith, he too refused. And the tortures that they heaped upon him were too brutal to mention here or in their entirety. Suffice it to say that at one point, the prison guards repeatedly jumped on his abdomen as they stretched him out on the floor until blood poured forth from his mouth, his nose, and his eyes. But through all these tortures, Leonard gave thanks to God for the grace to be able to suffer for him and for the Catholic faith. In fact, there's something about his imprisonment that's unique even amongst the many greatest martyrs. And that is that for the 3 months that he was held in a foul dungeon while they were trying to break his will, Leonard not only endured all the suffering for Christ, but he actually willfully added to the sufferings of the time. You see, he began to think that maybe he was not worthy to die a martyr, as had his valiant wife. So from the depths of this death chamber, he actually began to fast. He had one of his friends obtain for him a haircloth garment, which he wore every day. And 3 times a week, he would scourge himself for his past sins. The only thing that mattered to Leonard was that he persevere in the faith in Christ and that he win that gift of martyrdom so that he could show that he was faithful to Christ to the end and enjoy an eternal happiness with his wife in heaven. Well, this chance came 3 months later when he was ultimately beheaded for the faith on December 13th. And he and his wife are now Saint Magdalene and Saint Leonard, and they've enjoyed an eternal happiness without even the slightest pain for now over 400 years in heaven. For those of us who have that same one Catholic faith, their life should not fill us with horror or regret, but actually a sense of honor and courage that we belong to that same faith, the same graces that they received, the same God that they honored, we receive, and we receive of his graces, especially each week at the communion rail. You know, our Lord once said that whosoever shall do the will of my Father that is in heaven, he is my brother, my sister, and my mother. By these words, he meant that anyone who believes the one true Catholic faith, which was revealed by him, and who strives to keep the commandments of God, especially the commandments that pertain to purity and charity, and who keep the commandments of the Church and try to live a good Catholic life, these people are, in a very true sense, our Lord's brothers and his sisters. So then, if we are seriously striving to do the will of God, we are a true brother and sister to him. Now, some of our brothers and sisters in Christ have been called to the ultimate test of martyrdom by blood, and thus they have closely followed with our Lord, who shed all of his precious blood for us. But the rest of us are called to be what the theologians say, martyrs in patience. Thus, by our patient endurance, our endurance without complaining, of the sufferings of sickness, of bodily fatigue, inconveniences of any kind, when we suffer these without complaint for the love of God, we are what is known as martyrs in patience. Now, no matter how much the martyrs ever suffered in shedding their blood, or how much we ever may be called upon to suffer in this life, we must remember that no one ever has or ever will suffer as much as our Lord and Savior did for us, especially on Good Friday. Even the greatest of the martyrs could not surpass our Lord's suffering. And so on this feast of the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's fitting that we take time to consider the sufferings of our Lord and how they relate to our own lives. We know that even the slightest drop of his precious blood would have been enough to redeem the entire world. But our Lord did not want to limit himself to do the least for souls. The love of the Sacred Heart is infinite, and therefore he wanted to do the most, all he could, for us and for the love of us. Thus, on Holy Thursday night, he began with that bloody sweat in the Garden of Olives, when his drops of blood were shed for this first part of his passion. More blood would flow from his sacred body as he was struck and buffeted repeatedly by the temple guards and the ministers of the Sanhedrin. Then, of course, pools of blood would flow from his sacred body when he was terribly scourged at the pillar. In fact, to get an idea of just how bad the scourging was, we think of the words of Pontius Pilate, who said, "Behold the man," when he brought our Lord back out onto the balcony. These words of Pilate show us just how bad the scourging must have been, for Pilate used the Latin words, "Ecce homo," meaning "behold the man." But what we have to understand is that in Latin, they have two different words for our English word "man." There is one word, "vir," which means a man as opposed to a woman. But there is the word "homo," which Pilate used, which means a man as opposed to an animal or any other creature. Thus, when Pilate brought our Lord out before that angry mob, what he was saying was, "Behold, this is a man." You see, our Lord had become so disfigured, so bruised, as Isaiah had foretold, that it was necessary for Pilate to remind the crowd that this bloody mass standing before them was still Christ, covered now in blood and wounds, where just hours before his flesh had been. When the great prophet Isaiah had seen our Lord at this time in a vision, he wrote, "We thought of him as a leper, as one struck by God and afflicted." And to think that our Lord suffered that, a scourging which made him so awful to behold that you couldn't even tell that he was human anymore, that he suffered that for each and every one of us. And he would have suffered that for each and every one of us if we were the only soul that needed redemption. Then to think that he did not even stop there. More of his precious blood was spilled out on the way to Calvary. And then finally, even in death, there was one last reserve of his precious blood kept in his sacred heart. But Cornelius Alapide, the great scripture scholar, tells us that our Lord did not even want this blood left in his heart. While love gave up his hands, his feet, and his head, and his whole body to the scourges, the nails, and the wounds, so in death did he wish to give us his heart. For this was pierced by the lance, so that the blood and water flowed from it. He gave himself entirely to us in life, and he gave us his heart in death. What a thought for those of us who may be suffering our own trials, carrying our own heavy crosses in life, to remember that our true brother, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has first given all for us. In this life, my dear friends, we will have sufferings and trials. We will be called upon, even at times, to make a heroic defense of our faith and morals. But no matter how great our sufferings may be, we can consider all the precious blood that was profusely shed for love of us. St. Leonard of Arima knew this lesson well. In his sufferings, he could have very easily concluded, "I've been tortured, my wife has been put to death, I've lost everything for the name of Christ, I've done enough." But St. Leonard did not say this, for love of Christ compelled him to go even further. In that terrible dungeon, he began to fast, to scourge himself, and to prove that he was ready to suffer anything for the name of Christ. And his reward, after that short 3 months of suffering, was not only to be given a vision of his wife throughout his sufferings, which St. Alphonsus said that she would appear to him to encourage him and console him, but now to think that they have been happy for 400 years and they will be happy forever in heaven, thanks to the precious blood of Christ, which opened the gates of heaven for them. Let us then take up their glorious example in our own trials, our own sufferings. Let us never say, I have done enough for Christ. No matter what virtues we may be called upon to practice, no matter what sacrifices we might have to make, let us too be valiant for Christ, who has shed every drop of his precious blood for us. Keep in mind that of ourselves, we can't even suffer the slightest inconvenience without his help and his grace. We must then beg God every day to confidently suffer our trials with the help of his grace and with his love. He shed every last drop of precious blood for us. Let us then suffer for him, but suffer with that confidence that he will give us the grace to persevere until the end, just as he gave St. Leonard, St. Magdalene, the tens of thousands of Japanese martyrs, and the tens of millions of martyrs throughout the years, the grace to suffer well for him. There are so many persons, places, and things in today's world that are calculated to lead us into sin. Sins of anger, sins of impurity, sins of despair. There are so many things that try to trip us up on our path to heaven. Let us then be confident in the precious blood of our Lord, which has been shed for us, and be confident that he will give us every grace we need if we are only willing to take up our cross and follow him each and every day. Pray with confidence and never forget that while the spear was piercing the sacred heart of Jesus to drain it of those last drops of blood, there was a spear of sorrow piercing the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Next to her divine Son, no one cares for your eternal salvation as much as she does. So pray to her then each and every day for the continued grace to save your souls. And during your rosary, ask the sorrowful and the Immaculate Heart of Mary to inspire you to do your all for her divine Son, who has already done his all for each one of us. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.